Here are a few quick tips from Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Parenting children with ADHD can be a challenge. Here are a few tips you can try today. Praise your child more than criticize. Consistency is key and helps with remaining focused. Seek support. Remember, it takes a village and you don't have to do it alone. Get help from Chad. Quick tips are brought to you by Chad, children and adults with ADHD. Get more tips on chad.org. Visit, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody, good evening. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we have what I hope is a very good, very insightful, very enlightening show. The topic is the impact of securing the right job for those with ADHD. And with us in our virtual studios, Tony. This show is born of my desire as a host and a coach to – when you go out there and you read things, there's a marketing. They're trying to sell it to you, and they're describing the benefits, which is all well and good. But sometimes it's really about the how and what does it really, really look like. And on occasion, I'm very fortunate – to be working with individuals that have ADHD that are open to coming on, sometimes anonymously, sometimes not, and sharing their experience with the coach in the coaching process, at least my coaching process. And that's exactly what we have for you tonight. So this is a story about an individual who came in with ADHD and was struggling quite a bit, just really try to get by. And as we learned to manage their ADD, we actually began to realize that everything that we had thought was maybe a challenge was actually something that could be used in a gift kind of way or a talent kind of way. And so we really looked at the world, and this person is not just surviving, but actually thriving right now by capitalizing on their natural pattern of attention. So with that, real quick, we need to go into a few announcements and some date the show. Today is Wednesday, April the 27th. In the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the eve of this year's International ADHD Professionals Conference that's being held up in Reston, Virginia. It's being hosted by the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference. So what used to be the ACO Conference is now the International Professional Conference. You can learn more about it by going to ADHDprofessionals.com. Tonight's show, by the way, is pre-recorded because I'm packing, if you're listening to this, because I'm leaving tomorrow to go up for the event, and as I always do, and looking forward to it. As a reminder, everybody out there, we've got more than 450 interviews over the years on Attention Talk Radio and Attention Talk Video. It's overwhelming the amount of stuff that's out there, so we've consolidated it for you, at least I have. You can go to digcoaching.com/ATR, and you can download my top 10 list of favorite radio interviews over the years with some great stuff there. So I think that's all of our announcements for now. Again, the show was pre-recorded. This is somebody that I've been working with for a period of time, and we really talk about a lot of different things in this, but if you have ADHD and you're struggling in a job, or you want to know what casting's like, we really, really hope that you enjoy this interview. So with that, we'll roll the tape.
Welcome, everybody. We are here with Tony. Our focused topic tonight is the impact of securing the right job for those with ADHD. And tonight's show is what I'm trying to do here is Tony's an individual that I've worked with for a period of time, and I want to kind of highlight just kind of coaching process, but more importantly, the value of getting a person with ADHD cast in the right position, and give you just an idea of maybe the process that that looks like to get there that's not necessarily traditional. I think often a lot of times people go and they'll look at a label of a job and they try to kind of fit themselves into that label, and a lot of times that just doesn't fit very well. And with Tony today, we want to talk about his experience where we began to talk about, learn a lot about him and how he naturally works, but begin to understand the environment and the setting and the characteristics of a job that would really make a lot of sense to him, and then find out what that label would look like. And that process has been very interesting as we went through that. In a way, we'll talk about it in a second. He kind of ended up creating a job for himself, if you will. So let's get into the stuff. So first, Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
We really appreciate you coming on here and kind of sharing your experience. I want to start by talking about when we first started working together, we began to really try to, I say, witness your brain in its own habitat and really kind of learn how you naturally kind of think and organize and process information. Can you begin just kind of describe your experience a little bit as we kind of went through just not paying attention to how you think you should do it, but learning kind of how you think?
Sure. Well, Jeff, as you know, I came to you shortly after my diagnosis. So, you know, being in my 40s, there was a lot for me to recalibrate. And I understood that just medication alone wouldn't do it. There was going to need to be some coaching and some redirection, because there's a lot of things that previously, you know, I would have done to compensate for some of the things I was challenged with that I didn't understand then. And that would have resulted in some behaviors, and not all of them were bad, but I think some of them made me think in a certain way that I had to really say, this is probably not the right thing to do anymore, given what I understood. So I think your perspective helped me in that transition, right, which is key, that recalibration. And the other thing I think we even talked about was just the patience you have to have with other people who are not used to you kind of changing so quickly. It could be quite an abrupt change. And you can really get impatient with people because you may feel, what's wrong with you? Why don't you get this? Like, I'm this new person now, let's move on. And so that could really work against you if you're not careful, but you sort of help guide me into sort of understanding the situations and what was happening and how to sort of look at something and understand other people's views on the situation. I think in the past, it was almost like I was reacting to things because I was mostly inattentive. When you're inattentive, you're slower. You're processing things. It's harder to pay attention. You're daydreaming a lot in meetings, and you're feeling like you just got to say something, and sometimes you tend to react just to say something. And, you know, just kind of focusing on the moment and understanding the situation and putting it into perspective, I think, is something that you helped me with a lot.
One of the things that we learned about you along the way is we use this term a lot in coaching, is your verbal processor. In other words, you tend to think out loud or you problem solve out loud. When we began to understand that that's kind of like not to talk is like not to solve problems, what was that like for you, like recognize you've been doing it all your life, you just didn't know that you were doing it, and once you began to know you were doing it, began to use it to your advantage. Tell us about that realization and what it did for you.
Yeah, so that was really important. And what I would encourage your listeners to do is don't fight against things that work for you really well. If you feel that something like talking out loud or, you know, pacing around and talking works for you, but you feel that it may make you look weird or socially awkward. I mean, just go into an environment where you can do that if you're not comfortable. I mean, some work environments are more open to that, especially nowadays, and we can get into that later on. But to me, when I was in school, there was no way I could sit there with a book, read, and absorb. It was hard. I had to pace. Like, I had to some way stimulate other parts of my mind. And pacing around, talking and pacing around was the best thing. And, you know, after I would read a section in something new, in a new chapter, a lesson, talking about it to myself out loud, you know, I used to have whiteboards everywhere, or paper, and I would just draw it out and conceptualize it. It would help me absorb it. I mean, there's just no way that I would just read a passage, a paragraph, and it would sink in. You know, I'd have to process it, yep. But go through that. And you know, the learning for me always took longer, I felt, than most people, which, you know, you feel bad about yourself and you think there's something wrong. And when I was younger, I would feel like, you know, I should do it like everybody else, just sit there and read. What's wrong with me? And I was working against the way my mind processed and worked. And now that I'm older, I realize it's okay. And I built that into my process. And I was with some colleagues the other day, and, you know, I've become sort of now the guy, you know, that can sort of solve all these problems. So I'll go into a meeting and they'll ask me, and then, you know, I'll go on the whiteboard and I'll start drawing, and they know, they just let him speak. And then they'll yep. make their comments, and they'll all start getting up and we'll start working together. And I've worked that into my process, and it's important. And there are people that I work with who, you know, you gravitate to because they kind of work the same way. And so we'll sometimes have sessions where we'll just talk to each other about stuff and we'll help each other solve things. So that's the other thing, is to kind of find colleagues that, you know, have similar traits.
Yep.
Once
you know that you think out loud and you brainstorm with other people, once you're conscious, if you're not conscious of it, it happens. But you can ask people permission, or you can actually create those environments to go to for you to kind of co-process with somebody else in order to kind of move forward. And one mm-hmm. of the other things that I kind of wanted to pull out is for you to comment on is, early on it became relatively clear to me that you were really thrived in what I call insightful thinking, and that's a sudden comprehension that takes place when you pay attention to things differently. In other words,
yeah.
you looked at things from different kind of perspectives, and the two parts of this was, Tony works in a Fortune 500 company in a consultative kind of capacity, and one of the things that we began to learn on the front side is, when you would work with somebody first, you wouldn't walk in and tell them. You would do a lot of listening to understand their perspective and where they were coming from, to try to gain insight, if you will, on how to go about it. I want to hold that for a second, because I think that was useful for us to realize that that's how you thought, that's how you were, that's your brain actually naturally gravitated to that. But there was this other area of friction, and that's when you bumped into people in your work environment that weren't very insightful. It was very 1, 2, 3, 4. They could only see it one way, and they would almost just throw a whole bunch of junk at it to see if something would kind of click. So I want to talk about this both separately. So to begin, can you comment on the realization is that you did like to – the first thing you do is you know, it's all in the idea, or it's all in the angle at which I need to come from, and realizing that's what you would do when you would work with somebody. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And I have to say that this is probably through experience that I've learned this. And we can talk also about this idea of creativity and what it means, right? And how I feel people with ADHD have, you know, their brains are wired perfectly for creativity. And it's unfortunate. I think a lot of people believe creativity is just has something to do with being an artist or, you know, music, and it does, but it's really about problem solving, right? And it's problem solving something in a way that's obviously going to address the problem, but in a different, taking a different lens that nobody else has thought about. So for me, I've always felt that you need to understand a situation, because if I don't understand it, you can't really provide a perspective, right? So the date, so I'm not, at least I don't have really strong, hyperactive, impulsive traits. I mean, I'm very dominant in the inattentive. And so I've always been a guy who just sat in the meeting and listened. And most of the time in the past, I was just tuned out, but it became part of my personality. But I think now that I'm able to be more in the moment, that is to my advantage, because I'm absorbing. And I've learned that that's information you got to take in. So I'm not the type who's going to just speak out in a meeting the first thing that comes in my head. I've learned, I guess, through experience to kind of manage that. And then what happens is when all that comes in, and this is part of the creative, so what I've learned is that creative people do this. It's part of their research, or they absorb things about the problem and the situation, and they let it incubate, and then the mind just takes over. It starts making connections, and that's where I think the ADHD mind really excels, because then you can start connecting things, right? And that's what I do.
Just a lens, there's a Mark Twain quote that I want to kind of quote here and kind of relate back to what you're saying for the crowd. And the quote is, he talks about this in the context of wit, but let's just kind of move that word aside. But he describes it's a sudden marriage of ideas, which before their union were not perceived to have any relation. And I say, because I think what I'm hearing you say is, you sit and the ADD brain is bombarded by these ideas. It's coming all over the place. And all of a sudden, you have two ideas that collide and kind of come together that seem to have a relationship, which before you didn't make that. And that is creativity. It's not necessarily painting or anything. It's that sudden union of ideas and that association, that click. And the ADD brain that's bombarded from all these perspective and all these ideas is brainstorming. And that is... just in a quote, my sense is that's kind of what you're describing.
Yes, that's exactly it. And I think what I'm still on a journey to figure out is it's getting yourself in an environment where you can maximize that. And so those out there that are already sort of in a creative, more of a creative role, whether that's in marketing or in, you know, an advertising agency or something like that, they're already accustomed to this. But if you're in more of an analytical role, which I was, you're going to struggle, because you kind of almost need to be somewhere in the middle. And learning about how creative people and the process they go through, I really feel I've learned has helped me harness the skills that I have. And how my brain works as somebody with ADHD, and you, it's actually really sought after. I mean, the things that you can solve, it's pretty amazing. And you know, we talked about this as well. One of the things that people with ADHD struggle with is that they can't stay focused on one thing, and they just kind of go off and off. And look for ways. Don't look at that as something bad. Look for ways to say, you know, I'm going to have a lot of different interests. And, you know, you and I have talked about a lot of different topics because we all have very broad interests. And that feeds your creativity, because the more you expand your breadth of knowledge and
yep.
experience,
yep.
it more connections you make. And it's just, this is what I found, is don't fight against it, right?
So if you don't mind, I want to kind of summarize. I'm going to make another comment, run to break, because I want to make a transition. And in totality, it's that notion that talking out loud is playing with those thoughts and ideas, so that you all of a sudden you get this relationship with those thoughts and ideas where there's a union that didn't seem to take place. That's the creativity that's there. The other side of it is is what was interesting to me is when you would have these new ideas that would kind of come together, those more non-creative, more methodical type people, you were kind of, you got it at that point in time, particularly when you were moving forward on a problem and you got frustrated a lot with the people that weren't getting it because they weren't able to make those connections. And it was like, come on, guys, keep up, keep up. And there was a little bit of frustration as a result of that because there's those people who just keep plugging. You know, they keep reapplying the same solution over and over, and you figured out a new mousetrap. That was a little bit frustrating for you.
Yes.
And still is to a degree. Is that right?
Yes, it is. And you do, there's a, you just need to learn to be patient. And, you know, I, part of what I enjoy doing is helping people. I mean, this is the reason why I, you know, wanted to be on this call. I wanted to share, you know, my experience, and hopefully people can have a different perspective of some of the challenges they may be having with their career. And I just take the time because if somebody, you know, isn't really getting it for whatever reason, maybe it could be just I'm not explaining it, I'll just take the extra time to do that. And you just got to be patient with people because we talked about this too. The journey sometimes is the most enjoyable thing about it, right?
Yep. Well, tell you, we're going to go to break. We come back because we talked a little bit about, like, the processing and understand that you're, like, this insightful thinker. It's methodical. We come back and we talk about how we actually began to own that a little bit and how it's changed your work environment, your job, and really what you want to do. So, everybody, we're going to run off to these messages, and we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Tony. We're having a great conversation about his journey of moving from an analytical position at a Fortune 500 company to one that really, really, really is highlighted for more insightful type thinking. And before the break, we spent a little bit of time just talking about learning his processing style, talking out loud. He realizes that he was very, very insightful. The understanding of what insight is, the sudden marriage of two things that before didn't perceive to have any make any sense, the listening to clients to figure out what directions to go in. And as we began to build upon this, we began to realize not only is it something that he liked to pay attention to, but in his world, it was almost, it permeated everything. It's like he could not kind of problem solve to the detriment sometimes of a job because he would spend so much time trying to look at things differently, or people would come to him naturally to talk out loud, that it would take him away from what he was doing. And in this process, Tony, I want to kind of talk about, you were in a very analytical job, and you're still in a very analytical company, but that yin and the yang between, I can do the analytical side, but my love is really looking at it differently to figure out a different path to take it analytically. That was kind of interesting, and we were talking about as we began to understand you and you began to thrive, I remember one day asking you, where do you want to be in 5 years? And you started talking about a job that was still very, very analytical. And I said, no. When we talk about where you are in 5 years, where you're going to go to the office, like where you're going to have your cup of coffee, and what are you going to do that day? And we began to talk about problem solving, not the analytical side. So we began to look at what you would be doing day to day and see what that would really look like. And as time has evolved very slowly over that process, you are now in a role that, oversimplifying this, is almost created for your brain in this analytical role, for your insightful brain, away from the analytical side. You want to talk about that a little bit and the notion of not looking at the label and the analytical career path, but understanding what you do and saying, I want to build a job around what I do?
Sure. I think what held me back the most, and this could be, your listeners that maybe are struggling in a highly analytical role in their careers, maybe in the same situation. So you kind of feel like you go with, the conventional views of what it should be. And you're typically with other people that are working this way, and you feel you need to do the same. And this is, our conversation about understanding how you work, celebrating your differences in your strengths. And what I'm starting to see is that the world is becoming more open to this, right, which is great. And if you're starting to see that with your employer, you should really kind of take advantage of it and celebrate it. What I had to do that was the key was I had to be really comfortable, right? So when you're dealing with a lot of anxieties and you're beating yourself up in the past because, you didn't know what you had and everything, and there's this kind of tendency to be self-conscious and not have a lot of confidence in sharing your ideas, even though you had great ideas. And so that's the one thing, is I forced myself, right, after my diagnosis and, starting to transition and working with you, I felt more comfortable in sharing my ideas. And that's the key, because people need to see what you can do. That takes a bit of time, but eventually people see it. And, you had even said, you're going to have to sort of understand how they perceive you. Some people will go, wow, that's brilliant. Some people will try to take your ideas, right? You sometimes have to defend them and make sure you make people understand that, this is a product of something that I created. And that's something you just have to figure out in your environment, right? And that was key for me, was just sharing that. Once I was able to do that, it just comes, because then more people come to you and then they want more of your ideas. And then it became, I really had to stand up for the reason why they were coming to me and how that was consuming my time relative to what, they expected my goals and output and my performance was measured on. And so that's one of the discussions, that continues to happen, but there's more awareness. And now they're saying, we get it. You can't be measured in the same way. So
I'm going to see if I can – what he just said is very, very – I want to stop and say he's in the job environment, and people are coming to him for his ideas. They're attracted. As he began to know what they were, he was more conscious and began to realize, people are coming to me with things that are not related to what I do, asking me for thoughts and ideas, and you were coming up with clever insights and ways for them to go about that. And while that was happening, that was taking you away from the work that you were supposed to be producing, which was creating some issues. And so to give everybody, we worked over a period of time to try to define with specificity as much as we could what he was really, really good at. And I don't think that we've gotten it nailed yet, Tony, but that notion is you're really good at taking things that are really complex and communicating them visually. And the best way for me to describe that is I'll never forget, you had sent me a picture one time of, you got a Rubik's Cube, and there's a guy trying to solve it, and then there's another guy sitting there painting the colors on it. And mm-hmm. that was profound for me, because visually you're communicating, hey, listen, I got insights. There's different ways to go about kind of solving a problem. And I'm using that visual because I think everybody can kind of see it. But that's the way Tony thinks. He looks at it and says, whoa, if you want to solve the problem, here's the fast way if you know what you're doing. And so people are coming to you at work looking for those tips and insights, and it's pulling you away from what you're doing analytically, but you love that stuff. It's like you keep stopping what you're doing because you love it. Now, as you've come to own it, talk about it a little bit more. More people are coming. You're able to point to it. Now they've pulled you out of the original analytical role, and now you're with the creatives.
Yes.
Doing what you do in a formal way that – when we first started talking, the notion of, because literally, I'm exaggerating this, everybody, but it's almost like he walked into, I mean, this is a big Fortune 500 company, said, this is what I do. Hey, oh, my God, we're going to create a position just for you to herald and champion what you thought was like, oh, my God, I got this ADD brain. Now everybody's coming to you for this. And again, everybody, I'm doing this because the shift in the show is he owns it, so he goes over and he's doing that. Now your job is to help other people find the clever ways of going about that. So do you want to correct me on that? Am I misrepresenting that in any way? And if so, do you want to expand upon it?
Sure. No, that pretty much captures what it is. And so one of the points I made reference to it when I was responding to a previous question. So the world I'm seeing is starting to change, and it's starting to change, I think, for the better for everybody, but in particular, I see that there's more and more opportunities for people that, you know, have ADHD to really shine and have really great careers, because there's this understanding now that what we have just over analytically focused way too much, and it works against the way the human mind works. And a lot of this is, you'll see things based on cognitive science and research, which says, this is the way our mind works, this is the way we should do things. And those types of environments are perfect for people with ADHD. They can really shine because, again, it's working more with our brains, and our brains are wired in a way that allow us to kind of make connections really quickly. And so one of the things I want to just share, there's a recent movement now, it's probably not maybe 10 or 15 years, it could be more, of something called design thinking. And for those of you that are not aware, just Google it, there's a ton of content out there. And what this is the merge of the way designers think into business and, you know, solving problems. And I'm finding that it's a great opportunity for people that have a really strong analytical background, because they can leverage that knowledge and they want to transition into something that leverages their ADHD mind and their creativity in problem solving. And that's what I'm seeing. And the acceptance of that is, you know, really helped. I think the timing of it for me was perfect. But it was all these things kind of, you know, the stars aligning, right? It was my diagnosis. It was me getting support from you. It was me just being aware of this. And again, I had to say, I need to show people what I can do. I can't, you know, be afraid. I have to really just get out there and show them my ideas. I mean, the first time I sent my boss a hand-drawn piece of paper that I took a picture for, because, you know, our environment was very much polished and, you know, send me this nice presentation. He was like, what is this? And I said, this is my idea. I'm not going to spend time making it pretty for you. This is just my idea as I'm evolving it. Now, you know, he understands that and he appreciates that, because it allows him to contribute. And, you know, sometimes you influence the culture, and somebody needs to kind of move forward and do that. You may be in an environment where there's others, you can sort of work together and start changing the culture. Maybe the culture is already shifting that way, but sometimes you need to be bold and do that. you know, you can do it in a way that's not too disruptive, right? Or where people go, that's just crazy, right? So you just got to be aware of that. And so that's kind of the way I've approached it.
So I want to kind of pull this together, go to break. I'm going to come back to talk about how this has impacted other parts of your life. But one of the two things that I want to say is related to what he's talking about. David Needleman used to be the CEO of JetBlue, and he has ADHD. He's very vocal about being ADHD. He's a guy who came up with the paperless reservation system in the airline business. Again, a very creative, problem-solving type guy. He wears it on his sleeve, and I'm sharing that because it's very much in parallel with what Tony's saying here. Also, I wanted to kind of highlight the coaching paradigm is it's not an outside-in process like Tony, It's, hey, Tony, let's understand your natural brain and it's how it thinks, how it processes information, and let's try to put you in that environment where those things are around, whether it's talking and walking out loud with a bunch of people brainstorming, or let's get you in a job that that champions this sudden merger of these ideas that previously had no relationship for the benefit of problem solving, and now it's becoming a go-to person. So I want to come back. I want to go to a break. When we come back, now that you're in this environment, it's having other effects outside of the job, and I want to kind of talk about that. So with everybody, we'll get into that in a little bit more detail after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here with Tony having a great conversation. Top of the show, we talked about working with Tony and understanding how his brain naturally works, how he processes information, how he thinks, noticing that he's more of an insightful thinker in an analytical field. The second one, we started talking about how we casted him in a role that takes advantage of how he thinks. We tried to articulate a little bit about what insight was and even kind of communicate he's really good at taking complicated ideas and simplifying and communicating them visually. So now he's in this environment where it's creative and he's being heralded for it, and we've gone from really struggling to, hey, this is actually kind of fun every day. Tony, this getting you in this position has impacted your family life and stuff outside. Can you speak to that a little bit?
So I've always, my point of view, people always like to separate, or some people do like to separate, you know, personal, professional. And, you know, this concept of work-life balance, I've always looked at it as like I have one life, right? And your personal life and your professional life, they intertwine. I mean, it's very difficult for, I think, a lot of people, and definitely for me, to really separate the emotional impact something has. And so when I was struggling, and I just didn't understand, you know, before my diagnosis and everything, and I was fighting and forcing myself and saying, you know, you're not as good as everybody else because you're working so hard, you're not getting any further, it creates an incredible amount of anxiety and stress. I mean, it's not good for your health, but that, as much as you try to separate it, it's hard to not have that impact your personal life, right? And this has just taken a lot of that away. I mean, the journey's still there, but it's just so much different, right? And we have talked about this, how just it's just changed so much. And, you know, my wife notices, you know, even my kids kind of notice that it's just, you know, a much more pleasant environment at home. So that's the biggest impact. Even the techniques and the things I've learned, I'm applying at home. I mean, there's no reason why you should just look at this for you know, your professional life, dealing with family problems. You know, I sit around and, you know, sometimes I will draw things with my kids and my wife and we'll just figure out how to solve a problem. And that, it's just made such a difference in the happiness level in our family. You know, I've noticed there's a lot less fighting about things. You know, we're able to manage things a lot better in the house. So it's had a huge impact. And overall, I think it's been, you know, I really can't express more than just, it's just a more fun environment at home overall.
So just because I deal with this kind of a lot, it's when a person goes from outside in to inside out, like this is who I am, I want to cast myself in these situations, and you can get up and you rid yourself of that anxiety of trying to be somebody that you're not, and you begin to understand your processes, and your processes are your processes. In talking out loud at work, talking out loud at home, talking out loud in relationships, it's the same thing. It permeates your life and everything you're doing. And when you understand that's how it works, you can go apply it to other areas of your life, and you have a little bit more success. It reduces that anxiety, and you really become owning who you are. And what's fun for me, and I think what I'm seeing you a little bit, Tony, is when you become open to yourself and realize that how you do it, it's not like everybody else, but it's really effective for you. You begin to get much more open to how other people might do it differently and how it might be very, very effective for them. And that pressure takes the edge off of everybody because you're not trying to be somebody you're not, and then you're not trying to force everybody else not to be somebody they're not. So it really begins to open it up. And I have to tell you, over the years of working together, that edge that was there is slowly kind of dissipating. It's become easier because A, you know what works, but also two, the openness of and working with everybody a little bit better and trying to change it to let me digress. For me, when you have ADHD and you understand how you do it, it's great when you can go to your significant other and reveal the mystery to them, like, oh, you don't have to figure it out. This is the secret. We can do that. And when you do that, you begin to help with other people to help reveal their mystery to process. And as a result, a rising tide lifts all boats, and all of a sudden that anxiety starts to slip away and things just are more manageable, so much more fun. And the reason I'm highlighting this more than anything else is I can't tell you how many people come to me for coaching and they're miscast.
Yes.
They're in a job. And let me describe what miscasting is, because it happens all the time. A zebra is a horse. A thoroughbred is a horse. Okay? You would run a thoroughbred in the Kentucky Derby. Running a zebra is miscasting it. It's not. It wasn't born to run in a Kentucky Derby. It was born to stay, to survive in the Serengeti Plain. And I say that very, very, very stupid, because a lot of those with ADHD will come to you like, I like computer programming. They're miscasting themselves because they're in a closet doing themselves. They don't realize that they need to be among people, maybe peer programming or some other things, and they're locked on that idea. And the idea is if you're miscasted, the power of focusing on who you are and getting yourself casted not only solves a business problem, but permeates the rest of your life. And what's cool in this context is now that we've got you casted in the job that plays to your strengths in your brain, this other stuff that we haven't even talked about starting to open up because of that.
Yes.
Before we wrap this thing up, any other last comments or tidbits or insights that you'd like to share to our crowd?
Sure. I would say the other factor as advice to people that are going through, you know, something similar or looking to kind of get away from, you know, a miscast job, what was really important for me as well was to have a really good system to manage my productivity. And really important, especially with somebody that has ADHD. And it's also important, by the way, on this journey, if you want to become somebody, you know, that gets involved in more creative things, and you're feeding, you know, you're getting into an environment where you're feeding your creativity and you have all these ideas, you have to have a place or a method that's easy to capture them and, you know, categorize them simply. And if you don't have that, you know, all these wonderful ideas will be lost. And the other thing is, if your mind is not thinking about all, our minds are not, if you put all the stuff in your head that you got to do, you're in trouble. And you know that, right?
Yep.
I have to remember to do this. I have to, I mean, it's hard enough for people that don't have ADHD. Imagine how it is with us, right? So if you've got, you know, the system has to be simple. Don't make it complicated. And there's a lot of people that have points of view out there. You got to try something. If it doesn't work, try something else, but keep working at it. Because if you've got a system there and you know you can easily put the stuff there and you can go back and it's there and it'll remind you, your mind is free of all that. And when your mind is free of all that stuff, it's free to have better ideas. And the more ideas you have, the more you're going to capture and put there. That is going to be important as you go through this journey. And that, to me as well, was important. So that I'd like to share that as well with everybody.
I'm glad you did, but I want to share my own insight on that a little bit, which relates to the very beginning of the show. Is if you understand how you naturally organize and process information in your mind, like how you learn, if you understand that and the characteristics of it, then you go look for organizational tools that have those characteristics.
Right.
All too often I have people that jump on a tool. The characteristics of the tool is not conducive for how they organize themselves. And again, it's a paradigm shift in how you go about doing it. And to me, at the top of the show, I tried to illustrate, we started to focus on understanding how Tony thinks, as opposed to trying to figure out how to stuff you into those particular things. And in this scenario, is the idea is don't jump at the tool, find out, understand how you think and process information,
exactly.
And then find the tool that matches that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's the process first. Like, this is the way my brain works, and this is the way that is best for me to structure my productivity
yep.
process. And then find a software or tool that enables that. And if you don't find a software that enables that, then keep looking, because don't force yourself into the software, because it's not going to work. It's just going to make it hard for you. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Tony, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been spectacular. I hope this has been illuminating for a crowd. And I think that I think you're an inspiration for everybody. And again, thanks for coming on and sharing your story.
It's been my pleasure.
All right, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Tune in next week at attentiontalkradio.com and catch another great episode. Take care.